President Carter, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Well, it's good to be with you and all the folks around Dallas.
You write, the most serious and unaddressed worldwide challenge is the deprivation and abuse of women and girls. That's strong stuff. Was there a moment, a single moment, that crystallized the importance of this for you?
Well, it's been evolving for the last 30-something years since we had the Carter Center. But the last 3 years, we've been concentrating on our human rights programs just on this one particular problem, because it obviously is the most serious crime being perpetrated against women and girls in the world. There were about 40 million people that were killed in the Second World War. That's the worst conflict we've ever had. Mm-hmm. And four times that many little girls have been strangled by their parents or either aborted when they found out that the fetus is going to be female. And also, we have a very serious problem in this country, in the United States, of sexual slavery. And the State Department reported that last year 100,000 girls in the United States were sold into sexual slavery. So these things go on, and nobody knows much about it, and nobody seems to care much.
It's pretty clear that at age 89, you're pulling no punches. I mean, there's a title, a call to action, very direct, very strong. Could you have written this book 25 years ago?
I wouldn't have known enough about it to write it then, because we've been pretty well immersed in our countries all over the world. But I think it's just been a recent development that I realize how bad it is here. For instance, I've been a professor at Emory University in Atlanta now for 32 years, mm-hmm. and I know that on every college campus in America, there is horrendous sexual abuse. About 1 out of 25 cases of sexual abuse or rape on a college campus is ever reported.
Why do you think that is, that so few are reported?
It's very serious for the president of a college or the deans to admit that they have rampant sexual abuse on the campus. So when a girl is raped, or when she comes and reports it to the officials, they immediately discourage the girl from making a legal case out of it, because they tell the girl, well, let's just counsel you and the boy, and we won't make a charge against it, because if you do, the boy will claim that it was consensual, or that you were drinking too much, or you had on provocative clothes. Mm-hmm. I describe one case in the book where when I was governor of Georgia, and I had a young woman visiting me in the governor's mansion, and she was raped. And even though I was governor, I couldn't get the prosecuting attorney and the sheriff to prosecute the boy, because they said it was almost impossible to find one guilty.
As you describe it, the violence against women that's justified by various religions is so horrifying in pockets around the globe.
Yeah.
But you're especially tough on the faith you grew up in, Southern Baptist Convention. Why is that?
Well, I still respect the Southern Baptist Convention, but in the year 2000, after I'd been a deacon and I was a Sunday school teacher, as my daddy was, they changed their policy and ordained that a woman couldn't be a pastor anymore, she couldn't be a deacon, she couldn't be a chaplain in the military. So those kind of things made Rosa and me decide that we needed to change our church. So we now belong to a moderate Baptist church.
You can tell that this book is written by a Sunday school teacher. Yeah. There is a lot of in-depth analysis of biblical language that I think has been used, as you point out, by a lot of people to kind of justify subjugation and second-class citizenship of women.
Well, that's true. And you can find verses in the Old Testament and New Testament that might justify that. But Jesus never did teach or speak or act in any way other than to exalt the status of women.
Now, you've traveled to 145 or so countries.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a place where you see things improving, a success story that could serve as a lesson for other countries.
Well, there are some places. The finest country in this hemisphere, by the way, according to the World Economic Forum ranking, that they do it every year, is Nicaragua. And one of the reasons is that when the Nicaraguans fought their revolution back in 1979 and 80, women played an equal role in the military, and then when they wrote the new laws for the revolution, they prescribed themselves equal treatment.
President Jimmy Carter, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Rick. I've enjoyed being with you.